Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and this is radio the way it should be heard. 1-877-932-9766 is the number that you can call to get in contact with the show to ask your questions. You can also Gmail me at the numero 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. You can also listen to us live by going to the YouTube channel, typing in the word Talktainment, and then typing in the word radio, and then scroll down to Talktainment number 2, and you are there. While you are there, hit the like and subscribe button. Also, do this, as you are doing now. Just go to the TalktainmentRadio.com homepage and click Listen Live. You're right there. Hit the like and share button there. And finally, you can go to Facebook.com/Talktainment, and you can hear the entire program. What we have been speaking about today's topic is compensatory law of interaction between people. If you missed the first hour, I suggest that you go back and pick up on that and get some ideas how our compensatory response should be to the interaction with people, whether they be in your family or in the known world as we are in the prison system of racism, white supremacy. Mr. Fuller, recently in the sports side or entertainment side in this racist world or prison system, Magic Johnson was the president of the Los Angeles Lakers, and he abruptly resigned. And further information indicated that he resigned because he found out that he did not have the power that he thought that he had to fire somebody, to move people around. And even now it is being debated, even as we speak, about the backbiting, all the things that can go wrong in a situation like that, because he thought that in this white supremacist world that he, and because he's approaching a billionaire with all the businesses that he has and all that, he thought that he was quote unquote the man, and he found out that he wasn't the man. So as a result of all that and the betrayals that went on, He resigned from that office. Now, according to counter-racist code, he did what he did. Many people are upset about that. In your opinion, looking at it from the outside, considering the compensatory stand that you always take to think, speak, and act, when you observed his actions, in your humble opinion, did Magic Johnson forget where he was or who he was?
Well, I can't say that. I can't say what he forgot. I don't have anything to do with that. I just say what the code says about a black male or black female's position in the system of white supremacy, the prison system of white supremacy. It's a prison system. So it comes down to a question of, for example, a black person who has $1 million or $1 billion or $10 billion in the prison system of white supremacy. What is that black person in that prison system? Prisoner of war system. A black billionaire in a prison. A black billionaire in a prison, logically, is a black billionaire in a prison. That's it. That's the answer. So there's no confusion there. If Neely Fuller has $1 billion and he's a prisoner of war, he has $1 billion sitting in the prison yard, walking around in the prison compound, carrying out prisoner assignments with $1 billion. Probably in the bank somewhere or something like that. But him as a person, or her as a person, is a prisoner of war. Because that's the way white supremacy works. Doesn't make any difference who you know, or what you have, or how intelligent you are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I have a statement somewhere, I think it's in my quote section. What's the difference between a dignified slave and a silly one? Answer. One is dignified and one is silly. That also applies to what you call having. Having. What's the difference between a slave that has $1 billion and a slave that doesn't have anything? One has $1 billion and one doesn't. But they're still slaves. I hope that answers the question. If you're black on this planet, whatever you have belongs to the white supremacists. Because if you're a slave, you belong to the white supremacists. In the system of white supremacy, there's no such thing as having enough money to buy yourself out from under white supremacy. There's no such thing as having anything that'll do that. That's impossible. That can't be done. You have to eradicate the entire system. Then you can be something else other than what you really are. And that's a prisoner of war. All prisoners, even in what we call prison. Lots of black people have been to prison. There are some prisoners that got privileges that other prisoners don't have. There are some prisoners that, you know, whose cell is a lot better than some other prisoner's cell because they, you know, favorite prisoner. Somebody of the guard making some kind of deal or something like that. Like in Shawshank, the movie Shawshank Redemption, some prisoners were better off than others. But they're still prisoners.
We're still prisoners.
Yes, black people got to get that into our heads.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'll just keep going crazy trying to figure out something that should be obvious to a three-year-old.
Okay. With that being said, what you just said, Andy Dufresne in the movie Shawshank Redemption, before he thought, spoke, and act, he observed and used the prison system that he was in to better himself. This was his plan. He thought about it, spoke to himself about it, and then at a moment, he acted upon it and escaped from under that prison system. Is this what we as black folk in this prison system of white supremacy, is this what our focus should be on, how to get out from under the system by using the system as what Andy Dufresne did in the movie.
Yes, because you can't use what you don't have. If you're in a prison, you can't just walk around every day imagining that you're outside the prison and start acting like you're outside the prison.
When you're in the prison.
When you're in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of black people think they can pull that off, that magic trick.
It's not going to work.
That's not going to happen. You cannot pretend that you're outside of the prison and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, you know, like you're outside of the prison. No, you're not going to do anything except the warden tells you to do or allows you to do or something you can figure out to do that the warden already knows about. Just like the master guard in Shawshank Redemption, Byron Hadley, I think that was his name, the character in the movie. He went into the cell, into the frame cell, and he said, there's some contraband here, but nothing to get worked up about. See what I mean? They can raid your cell anytime they get ready. You're in their cell. You're in their prison. If you're a billionaire, a black billionaire, they can take all that money, or they can declare your money null and void, say that you got it bogusly, so therefore you no longer have it. And how do they do that? Just simply say it. That's all they got to do. You know, and wink at their buddy that agrees with it and say, well, have we all agreed that this black person with this $2 billion doesn't really have $2 billion? They don't have nothing. They're back on welfare. I mean, in the welfare line, drawing a welfare check. Yeah. Why? Because we said so. Why? Because we are prison masters. They forgot that, but we don't forget it. How can we forget it when we are their masters? They have a master. They can forget it, but any time we let them know it, they shouldn't be amazed.
Hmm.
And every now and then, these black people, some of them might, and I'm not singling out anybody. I'm just saying this is the way the system of white supremacy works. Always, don't ever let yourself think that you have escaped their grip.
Yes.
By anything that you do, as long as this system is in place,
okay. Period.
There's no such thing as some black person figuring out, I know how to get around all this. Yeah, you keep thinking that. That's when you get tripped up.
Okay.
You're on their planet, period.
All right, this is a Gmail from... Still Learning Javari. He says this, Mr. Fuller, when whites refer to themselves as white, when they are really pink or pale, that means they are choosing to be a member of the white classification. This means they are saying that they deserve more rights and opportunities in life because of their skin color. They refer to us as black when we are really brown, so this means we deserve less in life. This makes whites feel good. Anyone that calls themselves white is therefore a racist by default, whether they are overt about it or not. Anyone that calls themselves black is also participating in the system of white supremacy. We are not black. We are brown, and we do not deserve less based on our skin color. Still Learning Javari. Mr. Fuller?
Well, according to the code, if you're not white as a person, if you're not classified as white, then you are something less than white. By less meaning you're supposed to have less power, less choices than a person who is classified as white in all nine areas of activity, wherever you are on the planet. It doesn't make any difference what shade of black you might be. Black, brown, red, yellow, beige, slang term, red bone, whatever. If the question is, are you white or not? That's it. You don't even have to go into the shades of color. Shades of color, just shades of color. White is non-color. That's why they call people of color colored people. People that have color. If you're white, White is not a color, except when you're talking about paint. If you're talking about people, you're talking about a category of people who are supposed to be eligible to be white supremacists. That doesn't say, you know, a lot of white or black people are white. If you look at their skin color, they're really white. We've got some of them in our families, extended families, if not in the immediate family, so-called. All right? Even though in the system of white supremacy, there's no such thing as a black family anyway. I mean, that's a myth. That's something made up. That's something black people walk around thinking they got. Prisoners of war don't have families. All right? That's not logical. That's not true. You cannot be a prisoner of war and have anything. You don't even have yourself, not to say anything about having a family. And the white supremacists prove that over and over again, all the time, right in our face. You don't have nothing. You don't even have yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You just got me as your boss. That's all you got. And it'll stay that way. And that's what drives you black people crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't understand how we do that and what your status really is. That's why you're crazy like we have made you. And you act crazy. And you will be in this state as long as I have power over you. We mm-hmm. have to understand that. Prisoners of war. I keep saying that over and over again. Prisoners, what does a prisoner of war have? That's the question. A prisoner of war has nothing, even when they think they have something. Once you're a prisoner of war, you're just a number.
Yes.
And once you're a prisoner of war in the system of white supremacy, you're just a color. That's all that you have. And you don't even have that, because the white supremacists would walk up to you and say what color you are, you know, on any given day, all right? Or what color anything is. If the white supremacists say, you look up at a black person, you say, oh, the sky is blue. And the white supremacist says, no, the sky is gray. And the black person will say, well, I'm looking at it, and I can see, I know a blue sky, I ain't afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And the white supremacist say, what did I say, boy? I say, the sky is gray. Now, you going to prove to me that the sky is blue? What are you going to use as proof? Well, I got sense. I can see it. I can see that the sky is blue. I know blue when I see it. The sky is blue today. It ain't gray. And the white supremacist says, what did I just say to you? They say, well, are you going to make me say that the sky is blue? Now, that's the white supremacist talking to a black person mm-hmm. anywhere on this planet mm-hmm. right now. Are you going to make me say that when I just told you, boy, that the sky is gray? Yeah, but nothing. Yeah, but you don't overrule me under any circumstance. I don't care what you're looking at. You say you got a wife. I say you haven't. Your wife belongs to me. Now, prove that she doesn't. Because I can prove that she does, because I own you. And that means what? And this is very important when the white supremacists are talking. If I own you, what do you own? Just answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
Stop and think about it. If somebody owns me, then what do I own? I don't own anything, because whoever owns me owns everything that I claim is mine. And that gets back to that answer about somebody saying something about a basketball player.
Uh-huh.
You know, having this and having that. Under the system of white supremacy, if you're black, you have absolutely nothing. Not even the privilege of calling yourself black. If a white supremacist say you're brown, like somebody just called in and said, or you're yellow, or you're blue. Why? Because I said so, boy. Because
wow.
I said so, gal. Now, you prove to me that I'm lying. And I just told you, you better not tell me that I lied. Because
mm-hmm.
I can hurt you, and you cannot hurt me. That's the bottom line, folks.
Yes, sir.
That's the bottom line. I can hurt you a whole lot more then you can hurt me and every non-white person on this planet that ever attempted to do that. We laugh at them, and we say, bring it on, because now that's the bottom line. Can you prove it by force? Because that's what you're going to take to do it, to change what I just told you, sky being gray instead of blue.
Okay. We're talking about interactions between people in the system of white supremacy racism, but right now, TalkTainmentRadio.com is a 24/7 no charge worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and his politics. Now, here's a couple shows or a few shows that I'm going to mention. The Quay Morgan Hill Show, Wiggins World of Wellness, and Everlasting Life. Now, these three particular shows are exclusive to TalkTainmentRadio.com. And all you have to do is go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage and at the very top, click on Programs to get a sample of the programs that you can listen to and what we have available. Just sample them and see if you like them or not. You might find something that is interesting to you. Just go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage, click on Programs, and you're there. All that from TalkTainmentRadio.com, that is radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., and we're speaking of interactions between people. If you'd like to call in, you can do so by calling 1-877-932-9766, and we'll have Mr. Fuller address your questions or even your comments via YouTube, 7MrBobby at gmail.com. Pardon me for a little thing in the voice there. Mr. Fuller, this has come up, and I guess I'm going to mention it now, concerning your book. There have been several people that have contacted me about that, and you know that we dedicate a certain portion of our show to, of your show, rather, speaking to the book, but I thought this was interesting. It says, can you find out if Mr. Fuller is the seller of his books on Amazon? I see the compensatory code on Amazon, and he has never mentioned it being sold on Amazon to my knowledge. If he is the seller, I will buy the book from Amazon. If he's not, I hope he's getting some of the proceeds from the sale. And I spoke with somebody in your camp about that, so we got that straight. And you've always mentioned on this program that you can get the book by going to producejustice.com, and that will solve all of the problems there. She also wrote this, please also let Mr. Fuller know that Amazon has a process in place where he can make a formal complaint and they can contact the fake seller and request a cease and desist order. A lot of companies in China have recently been exposed for copying any and everything to make money on Amazon. But like you have said, Mr. Fuller, and like I said, I spoke with some representatives from your camp, the easiest way to do that, to avoid all that confusion, is to go to producejustice.com, and that will solve all the problem. What say you to that, Mr. Fuller?
Yes, sir. That's it. Go to producejustice.com, and any controversy is eliminated by just doing that. That's what I've been told.
Okay. Now, to answer this lady's question, you have not, to yourself, been in contact with Amazon and none of their people or anything. Is that correct?
No. Everything is done through producejustice.com, and they do have an arrangement with Amazon. But that's you know, if whatever that arrangement is, that's legit.
Okay.
Whatever, but go to producejustice.com, and whatever is there, whatever directives they give you, that may or may not include Amazon, that's the way to go. Just go to producejustice.com, and whatever that says, whatever they say for ordering, order in that manner.
Okay, in the remaining moments we have before we have to break, It's a break. It says, can you please ask Mr. Fuller, what does he mean on page 335? Let me get to that. 335. On the question, if you have sexual fantasies about some white people, is it correct for to admit that they have them? The white supremacists help to promote these sexual fantasies among non-white people into. Why is it so damaging to non-white people? So I'm turning right now to page 335. See, that's why it's important to have the book right there. When somebody asks a question, you can do that. Now, he said 335. I don't know where you want to start it, but I guess you can. You have that, Mr. Fuller?
I have it.
I guess you can start in the middle where it says, question if during the existence of white supremacy?
On 335?
Yes, sir.
During the existence of white supremacy in the middle?
Yeah, I guess we could start there.
Oh, yes. If, during the existence of white supremacy, a white person, for any reason, engages in willful and deliberate sexual intercourse with a non-white person, what is the correct way to identify yourself and that white person? Answer. If you are the non-white person engaging in such acts, sexual intercourse that is, it is correct to identify yourself as a victim of racism and to identify the white person involved as a racist, white supremacist, period. In other words, if you have sexual intercourse with a white person, if you're a black person and you have sexual intercourse with a white person in the system of white supremacy, you are a victim of white supremacy, and the white person that you are having sexual intercourse with is a white supremacist. Not personal, it's business. Why? Is that true? That's the first thing you should think about. Is that true? You're a black person having sexual intercourse with a white person on this planet, anywhere. A person classified as white, and you're classified as black or non-white. You're having sexual intercourse. Are you a victim of white supremacy? Yes. That's the answer. And what is the white person? Is that a white supremacist you're having sexual intercourse with? The answer is yes, that white person is a white supremacist. Why? If that's the truth. Is that the truth? Yes, that's the truth, according to the code. Why is that the truth? Because you're in a prisoner category. And a white person in the system of white supremacy is in the superior category of being in the position of a warden of the prison.
Hold it right there, Mr. Fuller, and we'll come right back to that. Superior position, I'm writing that down so we can get back to that. TalkTainmentRadio.com, we go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We'll have Mr. Fuller complete his answer on this, and then we will go to the phone lines. All that and more coming up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is proud to present the compensatory concept. It is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. TalkTainmentRadio.com is able to carry the first hour. However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at LifeSkillsHS.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicking online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kicking products are better than those other guys. Ash Kicking candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Shop Ash Kicking online at www.ashkickin.com.
Stand by for an important announcement for renters and investors.
You have probably heard about this bad economy and high foreclosure rate. I'm here to bring you hope. Every foreclosed property is a blessing or a deal for a new buyer or investor. These properties are selling every day all over Central Ohio for several reasons. They are equity rich, worth tens of thousands of dollars above their price. There is down payment money available and remodeling funds if needed. Don't let the doom and gloom news keep you from your dream of home ownership. Call Linco Realty today at 865-9614. That's 865-9614. Call now. Always remember, these times, like all times, are good times if we but know what to do with them. They also have programs for investors who want to get off the couch and run with the big dogs. Call Linco today at 865-94 or log on to repohomeslist.com.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Looking for something special for your club or group? Take a trip. Cruise Planners will help you plan the event of a lifetime. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, Bermuda to Las Vegas to Hawaii, with special offers that make it affordable and exciting. Click on to www.greatgetawaytrips.com for great deals or call today at 614-707-SHIP. That's 614-707-7447.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Humpty Dumpty got stoned on a wall, lost his balance, and had a great fall. All of his doctors and all his sad friends couldn't put Humpty together again.
Do you know what your kids know about drugs? Need help? Get help. Visit our website at drugfree.org. A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Michael, we're bigger than U.S. Steel.
If anything in this life is certain, if history's taught us anything, it says you can kill anyone.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Never tell anybody outside the family what you're thinking again.
You got the power.
You actually do have the power. You just don't realize that you do. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That is radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. And of course, you know, we've been discussing interactions between people. And we want Mr. Fuller to finish his thought, and then we will go to the caller. You were speaking about white people in the superior sexual position, Mr. Fuller. Yes. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I think I may have finished that.
Oh, okay.
See, but all a black person has to really remember, any black person who's listening to this program, are you a prisoner of war as a victim of white supremacy in a system of white supremacy? Does that make you a prisoner of war? And what is the status of a prisoner of war? What does a prisoner of war have that he or she can call his or her own? Well, if you stop and think about it, nothing except the label of prisoner of war. That's all you really have. Everything else that you have absolute control over is not you having absolute control over anything. You have very little control over anything except you can commit suicide. You have access to that. But everything, if you're black, everywhere you go, if you're black and are a person of color, is under the system of white supremacy if you have that label of victim of white supremacy, which is just another way of saying prisoner of war. The white supremacists declared war on the non-white people of the entire planet at some point in history. And they, so far, have been winning the war. Now, I say have been winning because the war isn't over. The war isn't over until every non-white person stops resisting. That's when it's over. You have non-white people who are speaking and are acting, trying to eliminate racism. As long as you have that, the war isn't over. In the interim, every non-white person on the planet is a prisoner of war to the white supremacists, those white people who have chosen to be white supremacists. We're already prisoners. We were born in prison because the system was in place and has been in place long enough that it takes in all of the people who have been born since it's been in place. Some people say it's been in place as long as 2,000 years. Some people say, no, it's just been about 400 to 600 years altogether.
Mm-hmm.
See, but I don't know.
Okay.
But I do know that it's in place now, because I've never heard of any non-white people anywhere on the planet who can stand up and truthfully say, the white supremacists don't tell me what to do, and I better do it. I tell them what to do, if anything, because they don't boss me at all.
Yeah, imagine,
I'm my own boss.
Yeah, imagine.
I don't know of any non-white people anywhere on the planet who can declare that and then prove it when the white supremacists say, put that to a test.
Yeah, that's what Magic Johnson just found out. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you are now on with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. What is your question?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
I just would like to continue Mr. Fuller and our dialogue during the break, so the listeners probably missed it. But I asked Mr. Fuller about a few questions I had regarding the labor area of people activity, as I'm going to be starting into a new employment position next week, and I was just trying to be as non-confused and codified as I can be in that position. And Mr. Fuller advised about constructive versus non-constructive. So I would just like Mr. Fuller to be able to give me his compensatory definition of what constructive is.
Results. Even, you know, toddlers, babies can sometimes tell the difference without anybody saying anything. It's just by making, because it's all about comparison. See, something that builds up, something that's not doing anybody any harm. Okay? And basically, we're talking about the production of justice, which is what? Guaranteeing that nobody's mistreated. That's not constructive. Anytime anybody's being mistreated, that is not constructive. That is not constructive. If somebody's being mistreated, I don't care who it is. And the other is everybody getting the constructive help that they need? Food, if it, you know, you take, if you're sitting, I sometimes give this illustration. When you're at lunchtime on a job or anywhere else, you're going to lunch. When you sit down and you look at what's on that plate, it's one question going on here. What you are fixing to put into your body is going to have a constructive effect or a non-constructive effect. That's why, now that I'm thinking about it, anywhere that they are having what you call school lunch, from the best information that I have for people who are going to school, you know, 8th graders, 9th graders, 12th graders, whatnot, or colleges, and they have vending machines. You go to these vending machines and you get lunch, okay? Now, in these vending machines, they have something called sodas. Now, from everything that I have been told, sodas are non-constructive, every last one of them. I don't care what kind of label they have on them. So you don't drink that. If you're going to drink fruit juice, just eat fruit. Real fruit, which most people have been taught is practically something that you pass up, all right? Fruit and vegetables. But even animals understand fruit and vegetables, not something artificial made in a factory. It tastes excellent, all right? But that's a form of drug, just like cocaine or anything else. That's all that is. If it is what people report are the ingredients that are in it. See, I'm not trying to knock anybody's business as such, but just look at it for what it really is. Are you getting nutrition? Are you building your body up? Or are you tearing it down just with what you're putting in your body? Starting off in, of all places, a school that is supposed to be teaching you everything that is of constructive value. And then you go to lunch and you're putting poison in your body in a school That just goes to show you how insane everything is.
Yeah.
All right? And so I hope that illustrates what I'm saying. And so everything when you're on a job, constructive, non-constructive, and how do you approach it? You don't tell somebody that is non-constructive. You ask. You ask, is this Mr. Rogers, is this constructive? This project we're fixing to start on, what is it constructive value? What is going to be the constructive result of this project? And just sit back and wait
for
the answer.
Yeah, wait for him to answer it.
Yes, that's all you have to do. Constructive, non-constructive. Mrs. Greenfield, this project that you just outlined here on the whiteboard, when we engage in it and when it's completed, what is it about it that's going to have a constructive effect?
Yes, sir.
All right. And what is it about it that may have a non-constructive effect?
Mm-hmm.
So you just want to know all the ingredients that's going to go in this pie they're talking about.
Yes, sir.
All right. What is it about this pie that's constructive? What is it about it that's non-constructive? Is it anything non-constructive? And just sit back and wait on the answers.
Yes.
And then after they tell you, if they say there's something in it, say, well, we're going to have something in it that you may consider to be non-constructive, but that's just a part of the entire program. And then you will say, well, what are we going to do to eliminate that part that's non-constructive?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes, a good movie for that illustration, Mr. Fuller, is one that I just saw recently. I had never seen it before, but it was a good movie that illustrates the point that you just made, and it's called Marginal Call. Marginal Call. And everything that you just described is in that movie. Everything. And I thought, based on the statement that you try, with the different movies, you try to glean information that is going to be helpful to you in being productive in your struggle against production against white supremacy. But I thought,
what's the name of the movie?
Marginal Call, or Margin Call, excuse me. Margin Call.
M-A-R-G-I-N?
Yes, Margin Call.
Oh, okay.
It's a great movie for that. Anyway, with that being said, TalkTainmentRadio.com, we go where you go. Just download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. And at this time, we're going to have Mr. Fuller speak about his book again. All the information you can get it. So, caller, hang on. I'll get to you after Mr. Fuller completes what he needs to do. Mr. Fuller, go ahead and speak to your book.
Go to producejustice.com, and everything for getting the book is right there at PRODUCE, Produce Justice. That's what we're supposed to be doing in all this conversation and in the book itself, producing a product called justice. ProduceJustice.com. And what will come up on the screen is a brief description of a textbook that's supposed to help us to produce justice by doing what? As individual persons, each and every day, doing our little bit that will add up to everything that needs to be done, hopefully, and outline in this book a basic code, a basic guide for producing justice by replacing the system that we have in place, which is non-justice in the form of something called white supremacy. That's the biggest form, the most powerful form of non-justice ever invented in the minds of people in all of recorded history. Now, that statement is either true or false, but that's what this book is supposed to be about, trying to not only just get rid of an evil system that never should have been invented in the first place,
yes,
but replace it with the system that should have been invented in the first place. And that is a system of justice, which means guaranteeing that no person is mistreated, and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help at all times, without exception, throughout the entire universe eventually, but certainly here on the planet Earth. and go to producejustice.com. And it's supposed to, the book is supposed to help you, if you're a victim of racism, to get through every day in the most constructive manner, wherever you happen to be on the planet Earth. Get through every day in the most constructive manner by what you think and what you say and what you do. Details.
Okay.
About what to think, what to say, what to do, according to your will. Not somebody else's will, not Neely Fuller's will, but according to your will.
Yes.
To have the most constructive result.
Okay. All right. ProduceJustice.com. You got that? ProduceJustice.com. Eliminate all the your problems in receiving the book. And in my humble opinion, you need to get the book. Let's go to the phone lines. Line number one, you are on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just really quickly, I want to say that I got your book. I got the revised, expanded edition last Wednesday, so I'm looking forward to that. Thank you. I have two really quick questions. The first question is, I don't know exactly which program it was, but you were talking about death and killings, and you made an excellent point. You said that even hearing about somebody dying should be so taboo. It should be so taboo that people they don't even believe it. They're like, wait, what? You're telling me that that person killed another person? I was wondering if you could speak on that a little bit more, because when I thought about death and killings, this is how it really should be. It should
yes.
be so taboo.
Yes, and to reiterate, when we finally get to that stage that I say every person, white, non-white, male, female, everybody, should be trying to become universal man with universal woman, with all of the most constructive characteristics that a person can ever have. That should be our ultimate goal. Not just to strut around being proud of having done this and that and whatnot, all this little petty stuff that the white supremacists like doing, just strutting around mistreating people. They get a lot of thrill out of that. Do away with all of that, any type of mistreatment, and having a world that some people might call utopia. Well, why not? Shangri-La, Oz. Why not have the world the way that it ought to be and should have been right from day one? And that is, people, when it comes to something like a person killing a person, and I've said this on previous programs, I envision that is something that I would like to see going on right this minute. But since we don't have it, we got to work to get it. Should be working to get it. That when a person even hears about one person killing another person, nobody will believe it. Somebody, just in, you might say, quote, unquote, dinner time conversation, they say, you know, I heard tale of a person pushing another person off a cliff about 30 years ago. And, hey, Ralph, did you hear that? You say, what's that you heard? That's Ralph talking now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I heard that about 30 years ago, in you know, in a little island somewhere off the coast of Australia, a person pushed another person off of a cliff deliberately. Oh, you mean a person walked up to another person and deliberately pushed them off a cliff? Say, yeah, and the person died. And they deliberately did that? Say, when was this? About 30 years ago. I heard it 30 years ago, you know. I don't know whether it happened exactly then and all like that. That rumor's been going around. It's been going around all over the world, you know. And have you heard that? No, I haven't heard that, but you're telling me about it. But, I mean, who would do something like that? That's the way conversation should be going on right now among black people and everybody, all right? Right this minute in 2019. All people should be talking that way when it comes to killing. One person killing another. That just sounds so absurd that nobody should, you know, conversation should be nobody. Hey, somebody killing somebody? You mean to say, yeah, I heard, you know, a long time ago people used to do that. They used to have something called wars. Mm. What did they call it? Wars. Mm-hmm. Where people got medals for killing people.
Yeah.
And everybody's supposed to say, man, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. You've got to be lying.
What's your second question, sir?
Okay. The second question is really deep. I wanted to ask, either logically or from the code, what does it say about God helping people? Like, you have a lot of talk of God should be helping people, or this, you know, Jesus or God or whoever you want to call him is coming back. What is the code or logically thinking say about why God hasn't helped the world yet? I know that's kind of deep, but I was just wondering about that one.
Okay, thank you very much for your question. Mr. Thank Fuller?
You. Well, the code says three things when it comes to the subject of casual or serious conversation about religion. You ask three things, questions, see? Everything in codification is about questions and answers. So, what are the three questions? What is the name of your religion? When a person starts talking about anything dealing with religion, you just ask that person, wait a minute, are you talking about a religion that you have? And if the person says yes, you'll say, does the religion have a name?
Okay.
And if the person says yes, you say, what is the name of your religion?
Okay.
And so when the person gives you the name of the religion, you got that down, you say, okay, number two, what does your religion require you to do in all areas of activity? Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, other people's religions, sex, and war. Because those are the nine areas of activity. And just listen to the person tell you what their religion requires them to do in all those areas of activity. And then the third question is the clincher. What does your religion require you to do when you interact with me in any one or more of those nine areas of activity that I just enumerated? And don't say nothing else, just wait for the answers. And otherwise, don't even discuss religion. You can listen to people talk about what their religion is, but when they talk about God and what they believe and all like that, you just leave it alone.
What'd you say the second part was?
Say that again.
What'd you say the second part to that? The first part was, what is the name of your religion?
What is the name of your religion? Second question, what does your religion, since you said this is your religion, sir or ma'am, requires you to do? What does your religion require you to do in these nine areas of activity? And then you enumerate them. Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, other people's religions, when you interact with people of another religion, what does it require you to do? Sex and war. Those are nine areas.
Okay.
That's enough coverage. And then the third one is, what does your religion require you to do when you interact with me in one or more of those areas of activity that I just listed? Economics, education, because that's all I want to know. I just want to know what your religion requires you to do when I come along and you interact with me. You know, your religion might require you to hit me.
Yeah.
All right? Oh. Well, I want to know that.
Okay.
Okay? I just want to know what your religion requires you to do. Now, what your holy book says, that you, what your God is supposed to be, and what form it takes, and, you know, what, when God came into existence and all like that, that's your business.
Got to leave it there, Mr. Fuller. Man, I don't want to. But anyway, thank you, Mr. Fuller. Thank you, callers. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, radio the way it should be heard. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. Heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why. One should always ask it.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.